Big things have small beginnings.
Big things do have small beginnings. As Michael Fassbender just said in the movie Prometheus, in which he created an engineered entire alien race from a single drop of blood. This virus certainly has created big things from small beginnings, but we're not going to focus too much on that. We're going to focus on some other things. Whether it's a kid throwing a baseball, catching the biggest serial killer in the history of mankind, or whether it's making a $15 billion candle, I'm going to show how big things have small beginnings nearly all around the world and time, and we didn't even realize it. So hopefully we can take something away from this one. Welcome to episode 150. I'm your host, the North Korean Santa. Big things have small beginnings. My Corona. Welcome to the Sports Antidote, episode number 150. I am your host, the North Korean Santa, titled Big Things Have Small Beginnings. We're going to be talking about the black market barbershop, the milkman, the jihad that this virus has on gym rats, a kid throwing a baseball, a $15 billion candle, Nick Saban, and the Grim Sleeper. We're going to have the host of NOLA Trash Talk, the Prophet Joshua. We'll be joining the show. If you haven't heard of that podcast, it's exactly what it sounds like. They make fun of New Orleans for 45 minutes, and it's pretty funny. Every week, NOLA Trash Talk, and that'll be it. The drunk neighbor is out. He's taking conference calls at like 7:30 at night, seriously. That's insane. Coach O is busy. Dickie Salvo, he's busy. And NFL Jesse, I don't know what NFL Jesse's going to do without the NFL. What are we going to, I don't know. This is just going to be weird. Black market barber, let's just start there. What the hell are we going to do to get our hair cut? And this virus is cucking my hair. That's one. I'm going to stay under 3.5. I mean, seriously. I'm thinking about starting a black market barber bar and deli. All the three things. You can go. I'll give you a piece of DiGiorno. I'll give you a Budweiser and a haircut for 10 bucks. Boom. I'll build a little bar. You know, you come over. Black market style. Cash only. And I don't have change, by the way. So I'm keeping everything. Think about that for a second. I want a beer at a bar and give me a piece of pizza and I need a haircut bad. You can see the gray. I'm starting to look like an idiot. So I need to get my hair cut. Drunk Nair, better warm that up. Warm it all up. Warm up that clippers you have because you're going to be shaving my head. Everybody's going to be thinking I'm a Nazi. Put on the one guard. My wife hates that. I did it 10 years ago. I'm going to do it again. My ears are kind of big. That's okay. Job security is a big deal right now. This sounds like a bad bit on a comedy stage, but I have to tell you, I like to watch horror movies while I work in my office. B horror movies in particular. I am a connoisseur of the sort. If this was Jeopardy and it was the Daily Double and it was for the win or to go ahead or whatnot, I would make it a true Daily Double because there's no way in hell I'm missing it. 80s horror. Now I'm watching this movie called The Believers because it had Martin Sheen, a young Martin Sheen, very spry Martin Sheen, aka President Josiah Bartlett III. Cuck-ass liberal president. That's number two. But it's still going under, I swear. If you could live bet that now, you may want to check out the over. But in this movie, in the very beginning, I noticed that, and it wasn't really a B-horror. I mean, there were some supernatural abilities, but there was no monsters. There was no big teeth, nobody getting eaten. So, you know, it was all right. I give it a 3 out of 10. But, you know, we need critters, like the movie. We need people eating people. That's how this works. Monsters eating people. Or monsters eating monsters. I don't care. Somebody's getting eaten. That's all we need. You get the picture. In the beginning of the movie, President Josiah Bartlett III, a.k.a. Martin Sheen, failed president, by the way. West Wing sucked. He is jogging, and that's why you know this movie was a while ago. It's in the early 80s, and in the beginning of the movie, there's a milkman. And it dawned on me like, wait, there's no way there's a milkman in the 80s. So I go check, and sure enough, there was. In certain places of the world, of country, there were milkmen. You talk about job security. Right now, we are like, whoa. I mean, every conference call I have gets more ominous and ominous and ominous. Whereas we're like this. If I can't get in front of the customer in June, I'm furloughed for sure. But at least I got 2 months to jack around, I guess. But anyway, I'm doing what I can from home, but I am a face-to-face type sales guy, and we work from home maybe once a week, and I'm on a plane, I'm renting a car, and that's all gone. This is ridiculous. But anyway, let's not get too glim. That's not what's going on here. The milkman. You talk about job security. At what point did the milkman look around and go, when are these idiots going to realize all you have to do is go buy this at the grocery store for $5 less? I mean, how stupid are you can you just leave the milk on the doorstep? What? A milkman, it just occurred to me, it's the stupidest job ever. There's no merit in that. And I deliver the milk. And I bang people's wives when they're out. Like, what are you talking about, milkman? I'm sorry, I just saw that and I was like, I can't believe that was actually a thing. How archaic and stupid. He probably had to think, my job is coming to an end any minute, and I'm glad that it did. If I see a milkman, I'm dragging him out the car. This is just absurd. On principle, on sheer principle, that is the worst, most overrated position in the history of employment. It makes people working at the DMV look very, very honorable. Oh, God, that was tough to say. So anyway, baseball kid. So, you know, the jihad against the gym. We can't go to the gym. We'll come back to that regarding college athletics and the NFL. Da-da-da-da-da. Talking too fast, but I want to hurry this up because I know the bit with the prophet's going to go way over what I think it is. So as he's going to talk about how you can drink at airport bars and how he travels the country, goes to San Diego, has absolutely no regard for this containment, and goes to San Diego and parties on the beach and spreads the virus around. It's just hysterical. I can't wait for him to come on towards the end of the show. So I'm over here getting creative on how to work out and everything. Most of us are, and I hadn't had a gym membership in a while. I just didn't renew it. I don't know why, but I still go for runs. And now I like to, you know, for a while I've just been doing calisthenics, hitting the bag. And I found this jungle gym on this playground, which is probably oozing with corona, but I don't care. If I'd have had it by now, I would have had it. I don't have it. But actually, I do have it. I'm probably a carrier of it. I just don't have symptoms. But anyway. So, you know, you do some push-ups, some pull-ups, do some sprints. If you see a log, you just throw it. Prison workout, dips, anything goes. Just as long as your heart rate's up and you're doing something. Do some pull-ups on a tree branch. That felt good. All 10 of them. Yeah. I had my shirt off getting some sun because no one's outside right now in this playground. The minute somebody gets close to me, shirt goes right back on. 15 pounds overweight and way too white, but that's okay. I'm getting it back. I see this kid over here. Talk about big things have small beginnings. I see him throwing a baseball. I'm like, what is he doing? I see a baseball diamond. This kid's sitting in center field with a bucket of baseballs, chunking lasers to home plate. He gets it. I knew immediately. I'm like, this kid is not going to let this virus keep him inside, at least, and not get worse at baseball. He's long tossing, strengthening that arm. He's preparing. He's going to be better than his teammates in his competition. So I admired that, and I had to leave. So I left. North Korean Santa actually mustered up a two-a-day, which I'm feeling right now. Get back out there. I thought I was going to do it again and did. Felt good until I woke up the next morning. When I go out there, I see the kid out there again. And I'm like, oh, hell no. He wasn't here for 6 hours. He probably came back. So at the end of my prison workout, I go talk to the kid. And long story short, he's displaced. His dad has some crazy job. He got transferred. Yes, even during these times. So he's not in school. Obviously, he has no friends, no one to throw with. Aww. And I'm like, whoa, man. I mean, I'll go get my glove. So I go get my glove. And he's throwing to me from a pitcher's mound. His kid's throwing about, if he's not throwing, it's mid-70s, 80 miles an hour. He's an eighth grader. All right, this kid's going to be throwing cheese. He's going to the Drunk Neighbors alumni, we find out, next year, in which he will undoubtedly start 4 years over there and probably play for LSU. His kid's name is Connor. I don't get his last name, but he is a baller. And he's so ahead of the game. He tells me, he goes, yeah, man, it's kind of like compounding interest. For every 3 days I work out and they don't, I get three times what I'm like, holy crap, dude. When I was in eighth grade, I was worried about poking a titty and catching a speckled trout. I wasn't worried about compounding interest and getting better than my competition. He's 15 years ahead of himself. This kid's a genius. He's going to be successful in everything he does. I guarantee he's a straight A student. I guarantee you his room's immaculate. He makes his bed. Probably keeps an own star chart for himself and gave himself a gold star today for doing something while everybody else gets cucked. That's three. Yikes. So, or is it? Yeah, it is. My point is that this small beginning of him throwing a baseball by himself is going to turn into something massive down the road for him. Whether it be him passing the bar, studying longer in law school, or whether him taking the extra rep and playing for the Yankees. I have no idea, but this kid's going somewhere. All because of the small things he does now, throwing baseballs to a ghost at home plate. And he has a missile launcher, by the way. That's a good example. But let's warm it up. Let's warm it all up. So I'm watching this documentary on Prime called The Grim Sleeper. This is incredible. So this is about forensic science taking its leaps and bounds the way it does. You ever watch The Forensic Files? They reopened cases like 25 years ago because they have DNA, which Johnny Calkin says, "Yana probably stands for did not attack." Don't have the, what's it? You must, the glove doesn't fit? You must acquit. Well, this wasn't the case. So this gentleman's name, Lonnie David Franklin Jr. This took place in South Los Angeles during the mid-60s, where there was a serial killer that allegedly killed over 100 people, making him the biggest serial killer, if they could tie it to him, ever. It makes Jack the Ripper look like JV, okay? Over 100 bodies, and he only targeted black women, particularly, and if you watch the documentary, as they say themselves, crack hoes. So don't call me Don Imus. I'm not saying nappy-headed hoes. What I'm saying is that's what they call themselves. I can say that because it's not the N-word. Won't chicks like, I'm a crack hoe, so what? Well, anyway, we find out that when this guy got arrested, all the neighbors are like, well, I didn't see that coming. Well, you never do. Nobody knew that Gacy was sticking bodies in the crawl space down there till they smelled it. The neighborhood clown. The lovely Democrat Gacy, serial killer. What a great guy. So, you know, you never see it coming. So my point is that in this case, everyone was so shocked. But then as they interview people throughout the very good documentary, they interview these women who are like, yeah, he raped me. He beat me. So the signs were there, but no one said anything. They were just scared of the guy, which is crazy. And then we know how the cops respond differently. We know how South Los Angeles certainly has its his history with racial interactions with the white police officers, which is not a myth at all. And I'm pro cop, but down they've done some crazy shit down there. We all know that. This way predates Rodney King and OJ. This type of thing sets the stage for what happened later on of those two aforementioned things, cases. So in this case, you know, the cops don't put nearly as much time into a taxpaying white person in Beverly Hills as they do a non-taxpaying, quote unquote, crack hoe, which is terrible because everyone should have the same investigation. A life's a life. I don't care. Well, no, it's not, because some people deserve to die. But these women, regardless of what it is, deserved a fair investigation of who killed them and never got it. So Ollie's death just got swept under the rug. Little do we know, this is the guy that's probably doing it, okay? For years and decades, killing people. And no one cares because he's doing it to the same woman, same demographic that they don't care about, which is awful. It's such an indictment on the times of the LAPD. And again, I'm pro-cop, but not pro-that. North Queensland, what are you getting to? Stick around, Chief. I'm getting a point here. Big things have small beginnings. Don't forget that. So his son, and by the way, this guy's a 15-time convicted felon, but they never took DNA. And at the time, DNA definitely did stand for did not attack because we didn't have the forensic science at the time to do what we can do now. Now, let alone 15 years ago. Now, shit, the forensic science is the scariest thing ever now. If you fart and they come and check the couch later, they can probably get your fart smell and arrest you for DNA. God knows what they can do now. It's insane. Eyelash. A crust falls out of your eye and they find it with a microscope and that's DNA. They got your ass. Let alone like spit and semen. That's like, whoa, big deal. Now they can do anything. So in this case, his son got arrested. Shocker. And what happened was is they did a DNA test on him to get him on file to see. Now they're all just trying to find who the serial killer is because they have a DNA profile now of the serial killer. At least they got that going towards the latter part of his killing spree, his alleged killing spree. And he definitely did it. Well, of course he did, at least the ones they convicted him for. So they get the son's DNA and they run a match, and lo and behold, it's almost 100% match to the DNA profile they have for the Grim Sleeper, as they say. But it's not him. It couldn't be him. He's too young anyway for the ones that go back. It's either his brother, his uncle, or his father. Well, his brother's dead. He doesn't have an uncle, so it must be his father. So they start to file his father around. You know, they're like, they know it's the guy, but, you know, we still have due process. You can't just, you need to get that. You got to prove it. We don't know that's his DNA, although you're definitely positive it is. You know, this isn't Vietnam. There are rules. So what happens is they follow the guy around for a while. One of the investigators has an idea. So they follow him. He gets something to eat. I've been waiting for him to do this for a while. Guy's been eating at home. Never really goes out much. And basically goes into a pizza parlor and eats his piece of pizza, drinks out of a plastic cup, throws the remainder of the crust in the trash can, throws the cup in the trash can, and the cops are right there. They put their gloves on, they take those two items out, put it in a plastic bag, go to the lab, lo and behold, perfect match, he's your guy. They didn't get him on the over 100 bodies, they got him on 10. One was a teenage girl, she was 14. So they put him away they executed him. As a matter of fact, he died last week. A week ago today, if you go back and look. They put him to death. That's how long it takes. He was arrested in 2010. Are you kidding me? Whatever. Should have died a long time ago, but that's just me. Should have hung him with piano wire. It's ridiculous. The point is that they arrest his son, they get the DNA, and they file him to a pizza parlor. Lo and behold, allegedly, the biggest serial killer of all times was brought down from pizza crust? Pizza crust. A plastic cup? Playoffs? Pizza crust? Big things have small beginnings, pal. Big. And look at what's going on right now with this, I can't say the C word, but the virus, the Chinese virus. I mean, this is absurd. And what it's doing right now is going to eliminate college football and the NFL, and I'll tell you why. Not because of crowds and everything. It's something that no one's talking about. This is an indirect example. But right now, the gyms are closed, as I alluded to. Well, what are you going to tell your players to do right now? The prison workout? That's not going to work. Like my buddy says out in San Diego, this is Corona. This is a sport where two men, there's a car accident every 20 seconds. He's exactly right. You need to be in peak physical condition unless you're a kicker. There's no position that, and maybe quarterback, that offers, that extends that you need to be absolutely racked, ripped. You need to be built out of iron to play this sport. And even these big offensive linemen that have guts, they are mass muscle. You can't really see it, but these dudes are oxen strong. And they can lose that strength. And you have to eat, work out to keep that up. Oh, they'll eat. But the problem is, they talk about player safety. How safe is it to not have these guys in the gym? That's protection. It is. It's armor that they build. You go out there without armor, you might as well take the pads off. Play tackle or hard two-hand touch. My point is that no gym, not just for us, but for them, is huge. Football is a congregating, very intimate sport. The only sport more intimate is wrestling, but that's more one-on-one. And football is 22 people rolling on top of each other for 3 hours. Okay? You huddle up close. You go to classrooms close. You go in the weight room close. You eat together. You do everything together, and there's a lot of people on a football team. And if you're not in the weight room, what do you do? What are you, Herschel Walker? You're going to do 1,000 push-ups? That's not going to work. You need to be hitting the weights hardcore, hard squats, big bench, cleans. You need to be hanging. You need to be jacking steel. You have to. It's the only way. And they don't have that ability. What do you think? You're going to go get a, I'm sure Nick Saban, though, foresaw this coming in his genius. And every one of his players had a Bowflex in the garage in case an epidemic came, a pandemic, and now he's good to go. Now Nick Saban's Skyping his players, watching them do Bowflex. He's a genius. That's actually true. I know he did. I know for a fact that he saw this coming. I don't know that, but I'm pretty sure it's a fact. What are they going to do? What is Coach O going to get on Zoom and come on, guys, push harder? I mean, no. That's why Nick Saban hired. That's why he started this whole strength. He started hiring the strength coaches that knew football. What a genius. He finds another loophole. So now he pays this guy $500,000. I'm sorry, it's going over. And that cuck Kirby Smart now gets him. Loser. I hate Georgia. And at losers, Jake Fraud, another cuck. I hope he gets it, by the way. That's too much. I hope he doesn't. But I hope Kirby Smart does. But anyway, so what happens is now you have a football strength coach that knows the game. So now he can coach over the summer. And you can't do that. Nick Saban can't engage with his players. It's illegal. But your strength coach can. So imagine if your strength coach knows football, how much of an advantage that is. Well, now that's done. It's all done. And the thing is, if you can't hit the gym like this, you're not going to have a sport. And the other thing is, even if you do, oh, what are you going to do? Not have fans? Oh, that's fun. Empty Tiger Stadium, empty Superdome. I mean, I'd rather that than nothing, but it's going to look ridiculous, sound ridiculous. Might watch it with the sound off. You have to. Turn the sound off and turn on heavy metal. That's exactly how you fix it. You turn the sound off and you listen to Metallica. Boom, I just fixed that problem. So my point is that such a small thing, somebody eating a bat or somebody, I think they found patient zero, a shrimper, I don't know, I don't care. Hasn't led to sick double negative. What's happening is, I know the bars are closed and everything and the restaurants, I never would have thought that would happen, but the gym, that's the thing that everyone's forgetting. These kids need the gym. And without it, I don't know how they're going to be able to protect themselves. I don't know when's the next time they're going to be able to go to the gym. When is the next time? How many push-ups can you do? North Korean saying, I get it. You made your point. Well, I need to hammer the point because it's really crazy that no one's discussing, yes, these freak athletes are going to shrink. And need people there to motivate. You can't rely on not everyone's Christian McCaffrey, who at 19 years old was asked a drunk neighbor about this. He met his agent at his house. Kid was packaging up food and working out when he was 19 without anyone. Not everyone has the work ethic of Christian McCaffrey. You can't assume that they will. So at the end of the day, I mean, hopefully we can get these kids back in the gym where they belong. And hopefully, you know, we can get back to normal. Oh, let's get into this. You know, when I think of the big something out of nothing, the big things have small beginnings, there's a lot of low-hanging fruit. You know, we could talk about Amazon. We kind of already have, you know, a bookstore, online bookstore in 1993, circa 94, turning into a company that rules the world. Yeah, that's pretty big, but it's low-hanging fruit. Richard Schulze, you know, the guy out there in Minnesota who has a bunch of little electronic little department stores, bunch of tornadoes come, wreck everything. He decides to take the remainder of what they have and put it in his warehouse, and then realizes that warehouse sales are more effective and better and streamlined better than individual places. And then these warehouses start going everywhere else. Oh yeah, Best Buy. Yeah, that's a tornado turned into a billion-dollar idea. Good for him, but we're not gonna talk about that. I guess we could talk about William S. Harley, 1901, and his best friend, Arthur Davidson. Oh yeah, built a motor bicycle out of their friend's wooden garage in 1901, which now turned into Harley Davidson. It started from a wooden garage where they built that. Now, I could do that as well, but I don't want to do that because I want to talk about something else. Something that's huge. Michael Kittredge, never heard of him? Smart kid. Grew up poor, wanted to give his mom a good Christmas present. That's going to be difficult with no money. So he comes up with this idea. He wants to make his mom a candle, but a candle that smells good, a scented candle. So what he does is he starts burning crayons in his garage, molding this candle. It smells so good that the neighbors are like, yo, chief, what you got there? He's like, oh, I'm making it for my mom. It's a scented candle. They're like, say, pal, can I get one? I'll pay you. And thus it began. A garage melting of candles will lead to what I'm about to get to. He's like, sure. Starts rolling them out to the neighbors. Then he starts rolling them out to the school. Then the PTA gets a hold of it. Greedy-ass PTA. And they start putting him out to other schools. And, of course, they get a piece of the action. And he's like, the problem you want to have with any business, the demand has outweighed the supply immensely. My parents can't help me with this. They have jobs. Although his parents should have realized they should have got in on this. This is a Shark Tank thing happening in the making right here. Except it happened way too long ago before there was basically even television. So anyway, this dude gets it going. He realizes he needs partners. So he hires his friend, Don McClever. And Don is going to be the money man here. And Susan Obromsky. Susan is going to be the ingenuity behind it. So you have the inventor. You have basically the engineer. There's different things. And you have the money man. What a very dangerous trio. We can all agree on that. So from there, they realize they can only make so many of these candles between the three of them. It's not working out. The demand is out of control now where they live. It's getting to a point where they literally can't keep up with it at all, not even close. This is a good problem to have. Well, Susan's dad realizes he wants in on this action. So he comes over and says, all right, guys, I'm going to create something called the heated room. And what that enables is you save a ton of money on liquid wax deliveries. I don't even know what the hell that means, but it's what I read, and it's true, and it sounds smart. So we'll just go with it. Liquid wax deliveries. I'm sure that streamlined the operational efficiency. This guy's probably an ops guy. Now you got the engineer, the inventor, the money man, and the ops guy. Now it just got even more dangerous. So at the same point, this team keeps rolling. And then his daughter, Susan, comes up with the idea of the turntable wheel. I saw a picture of this. It's really cool. I don't know what it does, but it looks awesome. But whatever it is, it doubled production. Now they're rolling. Now they can keep up with the demand, and the supply is nearly infinite. And now they're making crazy money. Crazy money before they're even like real teenagers. This is nuts. And it just keeps morphing and morphing. In 1975, Susan takes over the first store, the Village Commons in South Hadley, and they begin to open. And they roll this thing out. It gets bigger. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It's growing out of control. And in 93, Michael came down with cancer. So he sold his share in private equity. He gave it up to Forstmann Little for a clean $500 million in 93. $500 million from candles. But it doesn't stop there. In the fall of 2013, the Jordan Corporation bought them for $1.75 billion. Crayons to $500 million to $1.75 motherfucking billion. Why stop there? In 2015, you might have heard of them, Newell Rubbermaid acquired it from Jordan for $15 billion in cash and stock. Let's go over this again. crayons melted in a garage, open a store in 93, or excuse me, open a store before that, 93 we sell for 500 million, then 1.75 billion, and now 15 billion. Now the net worth is way more than that. 600 stores operating in 50 countries, you may have heard of them, Yankee Candle. All from an idea to melt candles in a garage. Now you tell me if you've heard of something bigger than that, that came from smaller beginnings. It's way bigger than what Bezos did because this is way more organic and creative, in my opinion. Bezos' genius, don't get me wrong. But that story right there, in my opinion, just sets the table, to basically be the leading example for big things have small beginnings. Hope you enjoyed that. I hate to break up segments, but the one thing about Anchor, well, there's a couple things that suck, but for the most part, I like it, is that you can't go over a certain amount of time and then it'll clip you. So before I got clipped, I wanted to bring it off. And actually, a second ago, I got a text from Eagle One Fox 3 who wants to come on and say he has the best idea ever. So this is the operations guy, businessman, very smart man. So this should be interesting. So now the podcast will most definitely go over. Prophet Joshua can't come over until, whatever. It goes over an hour, Last week, hour and a half, pretty long, funny guests. But we're going to have to bring him on. He's just a funny guy in general. I'm sure this will be good.
Hold on, Command. I want another shot.
Sir, I strongly recommend you disengage.
Eagle One. Fox 3.
Eagle One, Fox 3. I got to tell you, before you say anything, I've been calling you Eagle One, Fox 2, and it's actually Eagle One, Fox 3.
And I did catch that, but I didn't want to be disobedient to our dear leader, the North Korean Santa.
Yeah,
so
you best
I
not
let it slide.
Thank you. You best not do that because I have a direct line to Wuhan, and you already know how that goes. So we may want to go ahead and just remember that in the case that you want to talk some trash. Hey, guy coming on later on in the show called the Prophet Joshua. You ever heard of this guy?
I've heard of him. I've heard of him. Yeah. He's a pretty knowledgeable guy.
Didn't you hire him?
I'm going to stop short of commenting on that. He's a good guy.
Do you want me to get rid of that?
No, that's fine.
So, Eagle One, Fox 3. Look, man, you just came in, and the cast is already rolling. I've already done my thing, and it was brilliant, by the way. And I'll talk about some things that you are going to – it's only like 20% sports and 80% wow. That's kind of how I would kind of view this one.
That's how the whole world is right now.
Yeah, you ain't lying about that. You texted me kind of while this was going on. Didn't know if we could get you on or not. So we're glad to have you on. You said you just wanted a quick rip because you said the Trumpster said something and you had a great idea. Now that right there is a showstopper for me. What are we talking about here?
All right. So, Trump was doing his daily press briefings, which have now become political, whether or not to.
Eagle, it's the Trumpster. If
you can the go Trumpster, just, okay.
Okay. If you
don't the Trumpster. He was doing his press meetings. They're fantastic. Just daily, wonderful, tremendous meetings. So he's doing his daily presser and getting up there, talking about what's going on, the good, the bad. And then he says they're talking about this whole phase 4 stimulus, spend another $2 trillion that we don't have. And,
sweet.
As I forget who said this, it might have been Charles Krauthammer. A trillion here, a trillion there. Pretty soon, you're talking about real money. But anyway, one of the things he was throwing out as an idea is, companies used to be able to expense and deduct their whole entertainment. Taking clients out to restaurants, and then that was changed. And I think we had talked about this in the past that there was a point in time when they could deduct all of it. Now it's capped at 50%, or there's some capping of it. And I'm not too familiar. Maybe it's a shame you don't know an accountant who could maybe come on and comment about this. But the point is, it's not as open-ended as it used to be. And I think, interestingly, that probably largely led to the decline in the three martini lunch. I mean, I don't think I've ever witnessed one of those.
And what you're talking about, though, is entertainment as in not necessarily – you're talking about in sales, client taking out customer – 100% off the top, right? That's
right.
How it used to be.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, as you know, that's how the pharmaceutical guys used to go ahead and take doctors out to Ruth's Chris in the strip club and then get them to push Viagra
and then deduct all of it as a business expense. So
All $4,000 of it in 6 hours? Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, let's face it, that's all sales guys do anyway, is just spend the company money and make promises they can't, what is it? Write checks your bodies can't cash, if I can use a line from the great Tom. All right, so moving on. So Trump says this is an idea, and I thought to myself, there's an opportunity here. There's an opportunity. And his whole point, I kind of think it's an interesting point, is once things open up again, if we had that in place, it would encourage people to, go out to restaurants, take clients out. It would just be another one of those things to try to encourage getting life back to normal. Okay, it's interesting. I think it's at least open for discussion. But then I had a thought. We're going to open a restaurant. It's going to have a real simple title.
I can't wait to hear where this is going. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I have no idea what he's about to say. We did not prep for this 6-7 minute rip, but yeah, this.
So, go ahead. So here we go.
Can I take a guess?
Here's the name of the rep. No, I'm just, I want to unveil it. I don't want you stealing my thunder. We're going to open a restaurant and it's going to be called Two Receipts. Two Receipts. And the bottom line is we're a cash only joint, like Peter Luger's up in New York City, although I think they take credit cards now, but cash only. You come in. We give you the dealer price, and then we give you a receipt with the MSRP. Well, look, we're just trying to help out. That way there's deductions and expenses. Look, what you do with those two receipts when you go back to your office, that's between you and HR and corporate policy.
Let me ask you a question about two receipts. This is a very interesting concept. Could two receipts actually, let's say we have, $90 in martinis. Could two receipts bring that up as like $90 of appetizer, even though we had $90
of martinis? No. I'm just saying it's $90 of martinis. That's the dealer price or the preferred customer price. And then right. I'm going to hand you an invoice that says it was $150, and that's the MSRP. I'm only going to ask you for $90. Now, what you do with that piece of paper that says, and I'm only going to book $90 of revenue. I'm not going to jail for tax fraud. I'm booking $90 of revenue. I'm just saying you're also going to get a piece of paper that says what the manufacturer's suggested retail price of those $90 worth of martinis.
And then how does that help? How does that help me as the consumer?
Because then you get to go back and say, hey, my expenses were $150. Company gets to write off a little more. I mean, look, we're probably talking about fraud, if we want to be honest. I mean, sure.
Sounds pretty fraudulent.
I'm no Al Capone in tax fraud. Sure, but I'm good.
You're good.
Good, but you know, Al Capone,
Enron,
dying of syphilis in jail from another guy. Sure.
The drunk neighbor is going to love that one right there, by the way. That was pretty good.
So that's my idea. That's, Trump's doing things to contribute. Everybody's trying to contribute. That's how I thought I would contribute. I'll help companies, we can jack those expenses up, trim their tax liability even more, stick a few dollars back in the pockets of investors and people like that. And hey, a couple of sales guys, maybe they get to pocket a little more in expensing.
You mentioned, I wanted to talk about summer with you as well, but I already forgot about that. I'm sorry. You mentioned something earlier. I didn't want to interrupt you. It'd be amazing if you could pull that out of your ass real quick. But I do two receipts.
Two receipts
would be the shadiest joint on the planet.
No, we ain't advertising. We're not advertising. In fact, it's going to be.
I know.
You have to
know where it is. Like you have to like know where it is. Like, you can't, it doesn't even have a sign.
What it reminds me of. So I remember once I was in New York City. This is when I was at the Naval Academy. I was with a group of fellow midshipmen. We were out, we were in our uniform looking for somewhere to go. And I remember seeing this sign that stuck out over a door, and it was something generic, like the club room or something like that. And somebody's like, what about that place? And this dude turned around and he had the sweetest voice ever. He's like, fellas, they would love you, but I don't think it's the kind of place you're looking for.
Uh-oh.
And we were like, okay, good. So, but
it's the Blue Oyster. It's the Blue Oyster.
The Blue Oyster. But the point is, no advertising, just a little sign, two receipts, but the word will get around. Sales guys, they talk. When a good idea comes up, they talk.
Dude, that would be, I would live there. I'd be like, hey, where you want, dude? Let's go to this place called Two Receipts. Never heard of it. Exactly. Let me show you. The Mater D, he's a real scumbag. Oh, I like him already. Of course you do.
Real scumbag. So we're just doing our part to try to get the economy going again. So there's my idea.
It was something about the economy. And you know what? I can't keep, because I don't want to drag this on. We ran 8 minutes. Man, it was something I wanted to talk about. God, I can't remember it. I don't know. That's what happens when I don't prep, because I didn't know you were calling. You see, you caught me off guard. I'm not exactly an improv comedian.
Right.
Sure. I'm no Daniel Tosh. I'm okay. I'm no.
You're no.
Amy Schumer. Sure, I'm good. Better than her.
You're no. There's that kid we went to high school with who claims he's a comedian. I don't want to throw his name out there because he might actually get some hits. But anyway.
Yeah, right. There's no. Yeah, very comedian. It was the other way. We're laughing at you, not with you. Trust me, pal. There's a lot of those idiots out there. But I just want to tell you one thing today before you go, man. And I already said this earlier in the cast, but I want your take on this as a hardworking athlete through, you know, high school, wrestled for the academy, wrestled in college, worked hard. Wasn't always the most talented.
Nope,
very
not at
hard
all.
Worker in the classroom, and it landed you where you are now. There's no, I have this thing called the coronavirus versus the gym. And by the way, I hear you were smart enough to rent dumbbells from your closed gym.
So that believe it or not,
brilliant, by the way.
I didn't even have to pay them. I actually picked them up this morning. I just asked, could I borrow or could I rent? I had cash in hand. They said, no, that's fine. Just bring them back when you're
just bringing back sterilized.
So I'll say this: that's the definition of being a good customer. Because I don't complain; I pay my dues all the time. You know, people think the customer's always right, and businesses get a chance to evaluate customers. Be a good customer.
Customer's never right. Yeah. Anyway, I hate the customer, but whatever. And I'm in sales; that's not a good thing. But anyway, my customers right now are not too happy that of all the things that we sell, we don't have hand sanitizer in my product. I'm like, well, you live in under a cave. Anyway, let's not even go down that road. So I go to this jungle gym workout place now. North Korean Santa is dropping some weight. We're just hitting the bag, doing some push-ups, old school prison workouts, finding ways to, you know, you can't do curls. Find that big thing of water, the 35-pack of water. It's only 35 pounds. But if you do it 40 times, if you curl it enough, you'll burn out.
Yep.
And, you know, in this world of no gym, we need to get creative, you know?
Yep.
And I'm at the field by myself over here practicing social distancing, obviously. I'm by myself. And I look over and I see this kid. And I want your quick take on this. We got to wrap it up, though. I see this kid, and I'm on this other side of this jungle gym, which is probably full of coronavirus, but I have so much hand sanitizer that I just like bathe in, and it doesn't matter. I can't cancel this out.
Right.
And I'm done with the workout, and I see him. I walk a little closer, and he's this kid, and he's in center field on a baseball field on the other side of this playground, and he's throwing – lasers, crow hop lasers from like 300 feet, like one hop at home plate. He's just coming at it. He's by himself with a bucket. And I'm like, this kid gets it, man.
I like it.
While everybody else is bitching, he's getting better. And by the way, I went and talked to him because I went back for a two a day. When's the last time I told you that one? Two a day, the Santa. What?
It's been a while.
And yeah.
For all. Starting to
get a little muscle memory here. And he's there again. But he wasn't there the whole time because it was 6 hours later. So he came back. So I went over and talked to him, man. And I was like, yo, what up, dude? I got his story. I already told it earlier in the cast. I'm not going to do the whole thing. But I was like, I think this dude's going to be somebody on or off the field or both in life because he gets it. He goes, yeah, man, I'm not. He just moved in town. He's like, yeah, I'm going to make the best of this opportunity. I'm going to get my arm stronger. And I actually went and got my glove.
Mm-hmm.
And, dude, this dude throws harder than most like juniors in high school, and he is going to be a freshman next year. And I am like, I'm gonna. In the words of Brad Pitt, when he says, "What's it, Troy?" No one will ever remember your name.
Remember your name. And that's why nobody will remember. You'll remember him.
Oh, I remember. You're damn right. He actually is going to Drunk Neighbor's alma mater. Pretty excited to see what happens there. But what's your take on that? Some kid over here, he's only 14, and he gets it.
You know, there's. You know, the whole thing, and you hear motivational speakers reuse the line, oh, everybody has the same 24 hours in a day. It's how you spend your 24 hours. I mean, there's a lot of truth to that. I know. It's boo. It's overused. It's trite. But that kid, you know, it's funny. Actually, I'll relate it back to sickness. All right. This is good. When I was in college, I remember our wrestling coach at the academy. And again, I was, you know, fifth string, and there were three guys in my weight class. I was not good. I was there. Did it for 2 years, but spent a lot of time just getting my butt handed to me by guys much better than me, national qualifiers, all Americans. But I remember he once equated washing your hands to training for wrestling. And you're thinking, well, how? He made the point. He said, guys, practicing good hygiene, taking care of yourself out, you know, you got to hit the weights, you got to run, you got to wrestle, you got to do your nutrition, you got to do all those things. But taking care of yourself and staying healthy by washing your hands and doing things like that prevents you from getting sick. Because say you're sick, genuinely sick, and you can't practice for 2 or 3 days. What's your competition doing? they're not going to take 3 days off because you genuinely had the flu and had to take 3 days off for the safety of you and your teammates. They're spending that 3 days getting better than you. So while all the other kids in high school are sitting at home feeling sorry for themselves, you know, letting some sickness that you don't have the sickness, but you're letting this sickness get take advantage of your situation, that kid's out there getting it done. And
man, no, he gets
you can't teach that mindset.
No, you can't. You can't there's no way mindset. He walked out of his house with a bucket of baseball and said, "Dad, I'll be by myself. I'll be back in a couple hours." Dad was probably like, "Okay, he probably lives in walking distance. He's too young to drive." But when he left, I mean, I saw him. I didn't see him leave or come, but I know there's no way he was there for 6 hours throwing the ball like that. That's ridiculous. I mean, if he is, then sign me up right, right now. As if I can invest in this kid, I will. This
right.
is
the best, we'll the best be his agent.
Planet. Oh, absolutely. It'll be simple. It'll be like, this kid's greatest. He's like Mike Trout meets this guy, Mike meets my boy Bregman. But anyway, my point is, no, I agree. And you can't teach that. That's something instilled maybe from his dad or maybe just from work ethic. But I was just taken back by the fact, not to mention he's a freak athlete as far as what he can do. His body isn't – I know this is going to sound weird, but he hasn't even developed into a man yet. Dude, if he's looking like right. this, he can throw like this now. And he's only like – he's my height. He's not – he's like 5'8". He's going to get taller. If he gets to be like 6'2", and his arms get longer, this dude's going to be throwing cheese, bro. And I'm talking like stinky cheese.
Right.
And it's going to be crazy. He's an outfielder, which he will not be an outfielder. He will be on the mound when the time comes. Right. Believe you me. Or a shortstop, one of the two. But one thing that he did tell me was, though, is he goes, yeah, he says – I think exactly what you said. He goes, yeah, I figure out other kids at home. I just take the time to get better. And then he said, he goes, I swear to God. He goes, if you think about it, it's kind of like what you just said. And this kid told me this. And I'm like, why didn't you say this on camera? Because yeah. you'd be famous.
Right.
He said, it's kind of like compounding interest. He's like, wow. For every day they don't do something and I do something, I get three times better. And I'm like, all right, pal.
What a mature outlook. Like, and you know what?
If like, it doesn't, what are you talking about, kid?
If it doesn't,
sounds like you're making me look real stupid.
And the thing is, even if he doesn't have collegiate or professional success in baseball, that mindset, you can't coach that mindset. I remember once making this point when I had about 7 or 8 direct reports. I had this one guy, same conversation every time we did his annual review. Joe, I changed his name, but Joe, you're a solid performer. Oh, I think I'm a high performer. Now you're a solid performer. Well, what do I have to do to be a high performer? Exactly. High performers don't need to be told what to do to be high performers. You do everything that's asked of you, but you've never shown initiative to do more than what's asked. This kid is doing more than what's asked. He's going to be a high performer, whether it's sports, professional, private sector, maybe something. Man's up and but goes I know into
one,
the military.
One thing's for sure. One thing's for sure. He's walking on that baseball field down there in Covington when the time comes. And they probably think he's playing JV. And the only JV he's playing, he ain't playing no JV. He'll be a 4-year varsity athlete for that school. And I'm actually going to follow this kid. Hopefully, he does end up there. But anyway, look, man, I got to let you go. Thanks for jumping on. Quick improv. We went a little longer, but great content. Eagle 1, Fox 3. Sorry, I got that one wrong from the get. We'll have you on next week as this virus continues. You're kind of like our virus guy, even though we don't have
a yeah. We'll do a deep dive in the
COVID
numbers next
podcast.
Week.
Yeah, let's go crunch the numbers. We'll get into it. We'll find out what's right, what's wrong, and then we'll go from there.
All right, out here.
All right, Chief. Thanks.
Always good to hear from the Eagle 1 Fox 3. That's a long call name there, but he did also say one thing he forgot to mention that I stuttered about. Is he wants to declare war on China if Top Gun 2 is postponed. And I tend to agree with him there. And it looks like the Prophet Joshua is ready. So let's bring on the Prophet. Buckle up for this one because this guy's nuttier than squirrel shit. So this is going to be good. This episode's all over the place. I love it. Anyway, without further ado, the Prophet Joshua.
Rock and roll.
It's the Prophet Joshua.
It is the Prophet Joshua from What's beautiful going on, downtown Chief? New Orleans.
Oh, man, I forgot you lived down there. So did you have the corona thing yet, or what's going on?
I've got all the coronas. Based on the fear that I detect off people walking down the hallway next to me at work, I have every disease.
The Prophet Joshua, ladies and gentlemen, the host of NOLA Trash Talk, like I said earlier in the intro, the podcast is exactly as advertised. They make fun of New Orleans. No shortage of material, but the execution is flawless.
Throwing shade on the parade. NOLA Trash Talk. what else can I say about that? Yeah, just Facebook, NOLA Trash Talk. You should, anyone who listens to you should listen to NOLA Trash Talk.
Oh, you have way more listeners than I. Yeah, especially now that there's no sports. But at the same time, though, we do have some satire between ourselves. And I've joined your podcast several times in a certain office down there on Mid-City where I usually pour
It's Skype now, buddy, in quarantine land, clown world.
Yeah, I know, man. Not over here, though, on the North Shore. We're still walking around playing tennis, slapping high fives.
Oh, that sounds pleasant. I was running in Audubon Park today, but let it be known that as I do host the podcast, there is no what's the word? I do not concede to the narrative about coronavirus, and I'm firmly on the fence of all of this is nonsense, and you can stack as many corpses as you'd like at my front door. I will step over them and continue having my opinion.
There we go, man. I wanted to get that
out of the way just in case somebody was on the fence considering to listen to it. If you don't like that, then just leave. Just go.
Yeah,
be gone.
Definitely. Kill yourself. I think that
get thee to a nunnery.
Yeah, you don't want to hear my whole opinion on the corona thing because I'll go on and on. And that seems to be just what everybody's talking about. And it's just
we'll scooch around it.
Yeah, we'll try to scooch around those dead bodies, you know what I mean? So Prophet Joshua, this is not your first time on this podcast. It's been a couple years. The last time you came on so hungover, you went out till 6 in the morning, and then you drank so much coffee when you came on, you sounded like a raving crack addict, and it was very entertaining. It was extremely entertaining. I got to tell you, it was awesome.
I don't even remember that. But you can, exactly. I mean, with this handy-dandy Anchor app, you can have a podcast anywhere.
Don't you like the Anchor app? It's pretty handy.
I do. It took all the technology of recording your own phone call, and it's just great.
Makes it easy for idiots like me, Chief.
None of the lag time of Skype. Sorry, Skype. Anchor. Download it today.
There you go. I think you just made me another $5. So I'm going to do that again here.
So
the Prophet Joshua, I don't need to profile this guy for you, but let me go ahead and profile this guy for you. So he's absolutely insane. He will never be married. He looks like Thor. He's a big dude. He's got these glowing locks. He works, I won't say what radio station. He's got a lot of different hustles. He works for the Saints behind the scenes for a certain company. He's always doing something. And he's got these podcasts he does with a certain person that I'm pretty close with. But anyhow, you also are a huge fan of the middle finger in society's face. And right now you're giving the big fuck you to the corona thing. And you are not only traveling, you're rolling to airports and you're rolling out every weekend. Why don't you talk about your last excursion?
Yeah, the last two weekends.
I'm sorry. Before we get into that, I skipped the best part. Can we talk about your new way to bar hop? I'm sorry, because they're all closed except for in a certain place.
Oh, at the airport, you mean?
Yeah.
No. Since the official lockdown dropped, when they shut down all the bars, I believe that was Monday 2 weeks ago. Since then, I thought immediately, like, all right, this is. I've treated this whole thing like Katrina Part 2 for me, because for Katrina, just as a real quick intro, I was 19 working in the quarter every day that summer, having a grand old time, as any 19-year-old would be working in the quarter, and then I was time-traveled against my will to my mom's living room for 4 months because of the hurricane, and I went from 80 to zero. I went from all the fun to none of the fun. And so this is kind of what the situation here with coronavirus has reminded me of. You've taken all the things I like in life, and you've pulled them all away, and now I feel like I'm 19 again. I'm not old enough to go out of the house and go anywhere. And I have the liquor selection of my mom's coffee table, you know, comparably. No friends around. Everyone's afraid to meet up. And so I feel like I've done this before. It feels like deja vu. I feel like a teenager again. And, so immediately with that lockdown, I started looking at, however long this goes, I want to mix up my weekends, because if I spend all week, my weekdays are pretty much unaffected with work. I come home anyway. I don't hang out. I don't drink. I don't go to dinners. Monday through Friday, bullshit. But my weekends are horribly affected by this. So I just started booking trips, because those flights, buddy, those flight prices dropped like a hammer.
Like 90%.
I mean, all I would do at work as soon as this happened, I would just pick cities. I would just like, what's a round trip this weekend from New Orleans to this city? Where's the bar still open before every state shut it down? You know, do I got to go to Alaska? Do I got to go to Oklahoma? I mean, is Ocean Springs, Mississippi, are their bars still open? Those guys were up to the 11th hour too, by the way. I mean, full credit to Mississippi there. But no,
they're shut down. They got shut down today at 3:30, by the way.
Yeah. So, but I also, on top of just picking what cities were still open, if I was going to, like, basically, if I could fly cheap to a city, I'll do it every weekend just to make it through this. I wouldn't let the world burning down affect my good time. And I would, you know, vice versa, as I've said on Nola Trash Talk before, if I'm dying of a gunshot wound, bleeding out in front of the bar, my last words will be, don't close the bar. I've said it multiple times, months and months ago on Trash Talk. That's something I live by. I don't want my bad time to ruin your good time. Unfortunately, the elderly of the United States don't agree with that sentiment. But here we are. So I started booking trips. And not only did I pick the cities, I had to find friends that also, you know, could, you know, sacking up and, like, didn't give a shit about this either. Cause
yeah,
I,
but before I you go into that, didn't we talk about how it was fun to drink? One could just go to the New Orleans bars right now because they're the only ones open in, like, the state. And if one were so inclined, you just go there and drink.
At the airport.
Is that a real thing?
At the
airport.
Right. Well, this is how it started. So my friend in San Diego, she didn't care. She's like, this whole thing's stupid. I'm like, thank you. I will come visit you. So that was the first weekend. And I got
to, so you went to San Diego from the most infested city
Friday
ever.
Friday night, week one, a week ago from this past Friday, flew out like 7:44 p.m. flight. Connecting through Dallas to San Diego, I got to New Orleans Airport and my jaw hit the floor. I was like, the people sitting at the bar, down at the end of, I guess, the B terminal gates at the very end where it all tees off. That big bar at the end was still open. I sat at the bar. I got a beer. A tear came to my eye. I was like, I can't believe this is there. America still exists somewhere. I mean, you know, maybe it's like Asgard. It's all in our hearts. It's not a place. and I got off the plane when I changed planes in Dallas. But boom, the Dallas bar was still serving too. And I was like, oh my God, is this a thing around the whole country? Have they shut down bars? They haven't shut down airports. Clearly they're still flying and they still got to have the businesses open in the airports. So then I got to San Diego and I spent a weekend in San Diego on this beach that's not open to the public technically, but you climb down like the side of a cliff. And basically we had a cooler of beer and assorted liquors out there with a whole bunch of other people playing with their dogs, throwing frisbees around, just hanging out like a beach day. And
Sounds very responsible. Very responsible.
Doesn't it? Yeah, had a lovely weekend. Flew back through Dallas, and when I was coming back through Dallas,
infected half the airplane. And keep going.
Week two of this trip, weekend number two. I'm blazing through this. When I flew back through Dallas that first weekend, the bars were closed, and I was pissed because I had like an hour and a half layover, and it was like an evening flight, and I was really just intent on like, all right, I can hit the bar in Dallas and sleep the rest of the way to New Orleans, and the bars are closed, but they're still serving beer. You can't sit at the bar, but you can go to like a kiosk thing that's next to the shut down restaurant, and they'll go walk in behind the bar at the restaurant, the TGI Fridays that's got the gate pulled, and they'll still get you your beer in go cups or cans, and then I can order like six beers or drinks, and then it's like, well, where do I go? It's like, well, you can go anywhere in the airport, because you can't be here. Like, okay, so you can just have a little bar for yourself at one of the charging stations, pretty much. And I was like, this is absurd. I was like either go all the way or don't bother at all with this. It's like, if there's a lockdown in the whole country and you can't drive across the Texas Florida border, well, how come I can still get an airplane right now and fly to Hawaii? I promise you. So it doesn't make sense. So I got back after the first week. No one was the wiser except everyone at work that noticed I was really tan. Well, everybody else is afraid to leave the house. Yeah. Well, what happens to Great Gam Gam? Well, no. Joshua Tanner feeling better than ever, doing home workouts, basically riding this thing out just like a bad hurricane where the power's out and you've gotten used to sleeping on the floor with a bag of ice on your chest, watching like DVDs because you don't have cable or something with like a battery or whatever. So the new normal accepted. Here we go to weekend number two. Now, do you have a question?
No, go ahead. Nobody wants to break your style.
So going into weekend two last week, I was like, all right, well, where am I going to
still traveling?
Well, I'm back on cheap tickets or Southwest, and I'm throwing cities out there. And I did not go home, and I did not visit my mom and my grandmother and I guess my brother too, for Christmas this past year. I went and saw my sister and my dad. They all came and met up in North Carolina. So I didn't go home to Maryland, where unfortunately I was birthed. So I looked at flights on cheap tickets if I could just, you know, go to Maryland for the weekend. $38 round trip, bro. $38 to just go to there for the weekend. And now nothing exciting would happen. That going to visit my mom is awful and boring, and they live in the middle of nowhere. And I wouldn't even notice a quarantine, pretty much, you know? But my mom...
38 smokes.
Yeah, $38 round trip. Round trip nonstop. And then my mom's like, no, if you come here, you'll kill us all. Really. Just doubling down on the national narrative. You'll kill your grandmother. You'll infect me. You'll infect your brother and his toddler daughter. Basically all the shit. And I'm getting told almost what I want to hear. Oh, okay. I don't have to visit you. All that guilt about not coming home from Christmas. Right out the fucking window.
Yeah, go back to
right
San Diego.
Right out the fucking window. So I just get back in contact with my girl in San Diego. I'm like, hey, so I tried to go home to visit my family, and they don't want me. So I'm thinking of doing that same flight back to San Diego because people in New Orleans are doing dick here. I got no friends or, like, no one set up a speakeasy, or at least they're not inviting me. I don't hear about no key clubs. Ooh. Any private Wait, rooftops?
Profit. Big question before I forget. I'm sorry to interrupt your stride here. Oh, are you connecting in love?
Connected? No. Connecting DFW. In Dallas.
DFW. You don't find South
American Airlines. American Airlines. For San Diego. Real easy flights. Real easy. And the American Airlines had the TV screens in the seats, and I was burning through movies.
Oh, dude, I fly Delta. I burn through so many, but I don't want to get into that one. But, yeah, dude, that's badass. I didn't know if you're going to love, because I had some suggestions.
But weekend two.
Which is chilling.
Weekend two, though. Back to San Diego. I just, like, screw it. Not staying here. Going to leave town again. Another weekend at the beach. Easy flight, really, because when you fly backwards on the West Coast, you're gaining time. So it's not awful. And, again, I'm watching movies the whole time. And so now the New Orleans airport wasn't serving when I got there this past Friday. No dice on that. And then I connected in Dallas, and by that time it was pretty late. A little caveat here, my pilot didn't show up on time, and he couldn't make his turnaround, so they put us in a hotel in Dallas last Friday night.
He was drunk.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, I didn't get
– asshole.
So the difference from me arriving in San Diego at 11 p.m. Friday was now I was arriving at 9 a.m. Saturday. So it wasn't a huge loss, you know. So a side story, once they drove us to the hotel from DFW because they – you know, they fucked up, so they had to put us all up in a hotel and give us vouchers. The hotel's 10 miles away, some Wyndham Garden outside of DFW, and I get my key to my room immediately. First one off the shuttle bus, because that's how I roll. And then I asked the guy, like, yo, I need a bar. He's like, well, our bar just closed. I'm like, okay, sure. So I walked like a mile and a half down some interstate service road to a gas station and got a –
I've done that
and
so
got a six pack.
I'm sorry.
Just because, just like, I can't not. And so I'm. You got a picture, Josh, at let's say 11:30 p.m. Dallas, just throwing empty beer cans of Texas Golden Lager at building office gardens as I angrily walk back to the hotel. Because
I have actually done something so similar to this. Usually when I get stuck. And I have to do the gas station walk because usually I'm not going
to
drive.
You probably stayed at the same hotel.
I don't stay at the Wyndham. I'd rather
the closest convenience store to a hotel is like all the way down the highway.
Well, that whole area of DFW is forsaken.
8 miles away from the airport. That's another thing. You're American Airlines. You fuck up someone's flight, your hotel is 8 miles away.
Dude, you know
away.
What else is 8 miles away from the airport? Try to rent a car in DFW. It's 18 miles away from the airport.
What
anyway, don't ever rent a car there. Let me tell you, I don't get it, man. It's Dallas.
So,
look.
So I caught the flight. Okay. So I got on the plane in the morning, got to San Diego, spent another whole day out on the beach. Another side story about drinking on the beach. This time, went to a different beach in San Diego. Cops came there, kicked us off the beach. So then we're down on a ridge, and we walk up the ridge onto the sidewalk where there's like a jogging path. Overlooks the ocean, still kind of like the beach. And we just set up a picnic blanket there, and we're drinking. We got a full cooler of beer. We're sitting there drinking.
Once again, you guys are you practice? Are you guys like staying 6 feet away from each other?
No.
I imagine.
Yeah, we're not sitting. No, what?
No social distancing.
I promise you, Daniel. This is a girl I'm visiting. We were less than an inch of away.
Is this
from
chick
each other.
From New Orleans?
Yes,
And there it is.
This is not.
That explains it
all.
This
is a trip.
She's infecting San Diego. This is great.
I don't know where.
Dude, my best friend, besides the guy that may or not be on your podcast, lives in the Gaslamp District.
I love Gaslamp District.
He lives right there by. Yeah. He lives right there in that place on Petco Park.
We went around different areas on this trip, went up to some of the big military monuments that are way up on the hills, and then went through downtown. There's a Saints Bar right walking distance of the Gaslamp District. It's called like Fifth Avenue, I think, or something. They were open and serving, but you could just go up to the window. So we literally got like two little like go cups that looked like coffees, but they were full of Jameson from the window there. The Saints fans working.
Sick.
This is my social distancing, okay? And by the way, on the social distancing term, I like to spend my weekends closing the social distance, if you know what I'm saying. So that's priority number one on the weekends. I got to wake up at 4 in the morning every day for work. I don't get a lot of opportunities, so weekends, that's got to happen. And
capitalize on opportunity, dude. If you want to get – it's called social humping, and this is what you do. And I totally understand that one, bro. So I'm totally with you on that.
Yeah, so
– Just don't get married because that's going to dissipate quickly.
Yes, quarantine doesn't work out for me in that respect.
Don't have a kid.
So another great weekend. Got a little with little Tanner flying back through Dallas. Again,
Tanner,
little Tanner, I got Tanner. I don't have a little, no, back through Dallas. Again, I could just get beer at the counter. And then I just had to walk away. I could get like six cans of beer at once and just go sit in a corner. And then when I got back in,
just go sit somewhere by yourself and just pound away.
I guess yeah, that sounds like here's the thing with the social, the distance rule, the rule is no groups of 10. So if I have five friends together, we can all sit on a, we can have a crawfish boil out sitting at the fly. I mean, we have to walk to the.
As long as it's nine, you're definitely exempt from getting the virus. Before it was 20. As long as it was 19, sure, soon it'll be
this
five.
This is why I'm opening a bar in my apartment. It's dorm.
Dude, I've already talked about underground bar openings and restaurants.
Dude, it's happening. I had a buddy of mine.
All you do is make. Dude, check it out. All you do is make grilled cheese bologna sandwiches for people, and you just serve them canned beer. And you make, like, you just upcharge not much, but you make, 30% off that. Dude,
I've been researching this a lot, and I got a buddy of mine who's a bartender in the CBD here. He was texting me pictures of the bar he's got set up at his place. And, it's more just trying to get people, convince them. And then I was working out, like, a whole code system. Because I got a lot of old like military books in front of me, like we could have a bar in a house somewhere, and we could have laundry out, a laundry line, and if there's a green shirt hanging up, bars open, red shirt
bars open.
Dude, we could have a car if the car's parked in the driveway, bars open, car on the sidewalk down the street, bars.
Yeah, like the NOPD would ever figure that out? It'd take them 50,000 years.
No, we could have a whole complicated system. You'd adhere to the 9-person minimum. I don't think I could find 9 friends with balls to fucking show up and party really in New Orleans. Based on my experience,
you probably could.
Got to be like, I got to be a decent location where noise isn't really an issue. And I looked at a lot of factors. Anyway, I flew back through, and then we got back in super late to the New Orleans airport on Sunday night, and everything was closed then. So I don't know what the status is with the serving situation, but from what I hear from other people in different airports around the country, like, they're still serving. You may not be able to sit at the bar.
Some cities don't chain email around the country. Like, oh, dude, man, the Omaha bar, they're so
right. No, that's the thing. Like, some of the states took it way, or as they should, way less seriously. And like Kansas City, Kansas, or Omaha, Oklahoma City. I heard you could just do a book a round trip at the bar, leave New Orleans airport, go to another airport, drink at that bar, fly back to New Orleans airport. If you got nothing to do on a Saturday, why the fuck not? You can fly to Atlanta for $19. I was laying out the rules. Like, you can get a visitor pass at the New Orleans airport to hang out, but you can only get that once per month. So I just said, go buy a bullshit one-way ticket to Atlanta for $19 and just don't get on the plane and hang out at the bar.
Or just go to the grocery store and drink at your house.
I don't drink at my house, man. I need the ambience of a bar. I need people around.
I get it.
It's so fun drinking
at a
house.
Okay, Chief.
Sorry, I'm not married in Covington.
Right. Yeah, whatever. Thanks a lot, buddy. Anyway, so moving on from this one, before we leave, we went way over. But that's
I was going to say, you wanted to do 10 minutes, it was just at 20.
Well, I mean, it's tough to – it's you're used to hosting a podcast. You're not one to yeah, you're just going to speak your mind. I'm not going to – it's great content. I'm not going to stop that train, bro. But I got to tell you, tell me real quick. Give us 1 minute on the Facebook page that you had to get off of and watch.
Okay, so the quarantine – we all know has crushed the hospitality industry in New Orleans. And because pretty much 90% of the people I associate with are bartenders and waitresses, I got invited into this private Facebook group. I mean, now they're, at this point, there's hundreds of members. But it was called Shot O'Clock NOLA. And it basically became a hub of just bartenders stuck at home, unemployed, nothing to do.
Jesus.
Everyone just either – posting photos of you like 9 a.m. first shot of the day, you know, them ripping shots or live streams, live toasts to everyone, just guys and girls. Then it became like they're posting like almost naked photos of themselves posing with bottles of liquor at their house. Like literally every time I opened Facebook, it was like Shot O'Clock NOLA, just naked drunk bartenders.
Is there any coke on here? Or just out
I'm sure everything is like cleverly hidden because it's Facebook, and some of the photos did get removed. Yeah, some of the photos have gotten removed. Basically, but it's like a lot of
I imagine a lot.
Dude, it's a lot of dudes that you know weren't getting laid anyway, and now they don't. They're not working at their bar anymore, so they're stir crazy. It's all the chicks that aren't bartending, so they're all not getting their attention. So they're posting slutty photos of themselves posing with bottles of Jameson or whatnot, and it would just be the only thing in my feed because it was like so many people posting shit, and I was like, it was depressing me because first of all, like I missed seeing some of those people for one, and then it was just depressing like they're all more fucked because like I still have a job and all my jobs to go to, they have nothing to go to, and all they can do all day is just drink. Which is like not good for your immune system at all. If the goal of the whole quarantine was to keep you from getting ill, so I had to like hide the whole feed on my Facebook because I mean I wish the best for everyone, but I can't look at that.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt you could do that. And I got to tell you, man, we got to wrap it up. Thanks for jumping on. That is insane though to watch that. I worked in the industry for 10 years. I can only imagine what I'd be doing right now. Probably the same thing. But I've decided to get more back in shape and get. You know, shit-faced every night. I will tell you this, though. I have done a line of coronavirus. I did an actual line. And I know for a fact that I am infected with this after being in airports basically 100 times from January 5 this year to when they shut it down.
I got
to
tell you, man, dude, boarding up.
I'm good. I'm good to go.
Boarding a plane, man. Boarding a plane in Dallas. It was like, please remember, as we're scanning boarding passes, to keep 6 feet between you and the next person. Like, we're walking into a fucking metal tube of recirculating air. Like,
yeah, it doesn't matter.
And then the people they got their masks on, and then they're spraying disinfectant on the airplane chair. It's like, you know what this disease did, dude? The single-handedly took every person in the world and turned them into an old Jewish Hollywood producer. Where they're OCD rubbing themselves down with like you know the hand sanitizer and like is this kosher? Can I eat? Like everyone now is an old Jewish producer, basically, and having
Kyle, it gives me gays.
Yeah, like now with you. Now it's like, and I've worked with those people, and now I'm going around and people are wiping down their airport seat before they sit in it. I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Dude, I did see one dude on the last plane I took before my job shut down air travel. I saw this dude, and it's funny because Fester had mentioned this. He told me to buy this mask. I'm not going
to
give it away. And
full credit to Fester, by the way. He's been hitting me up wanting to go out and do stuff. So he's down for secret bars.
Yeah, well, both of you guys don't have kids and you're single, so that's just incredible. But I'll tell you this. This jacked-ass dude, but he wasn't bald on my last Delta flight, didn't have the – decorum totally of Bane, but was literally had a Bane mask on and looked very scary. And I was like, I looked at him. I was like, that is awesome. I like your gas mask. I like your mask.
Dude, one of the benefits of this whole quarantine, everybody's scared, but Joshua thing. Well, that's what it feels like. You get royal treatment, dude. You walking down the sidewalk, you walking through the aisle at the grocery store, it fucking parts like the Dead Sea. You come in there with no mask.
Prophet, it's the Red Sea.
The Red Sea. But yeah.
I get
yeah, Red Sea, Dead Sea. You know, and then fucking people just scooch out of your way like you're a king. And like with the glint of fear in their eyes. It's everything I wished for.
If you really want to start getting the front of line, start coughing all over the place.
I thought about that weeks ago, and then videos started coming out of people getting arrested so they could cough on the cops to get out of it.
I definitely wouldn't do that. But anyway, look, Prophet Joshua, I know there's no way I thought we'd keep it to 10. But you just have – you're such a – I mean, what are you going to do? I'm going to cut you off when you're ripping about going to San Diego. You should hit up my boy. If you go there again, he listens to the podcast, and he's – isn't that baller condo right there by Petco?
I want to, for a long time, man. I dreamed.
But he probably doesn't want to get coronavirus.
I dreamed of a condo in the Gaslamp District. Or,
well, dude, he's got one, and he only pays like $10,000 a month.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Oh. It's crazy.
All right, well, NOLA Trash Talks, the podcast. NTT.
Go ahead and give your thing before we go.
The evil NTT. Google NOLA Trash Talk should be the first thing comes up. It's on Buzzsprout, hosted by Buzzsprout, not hosted by Anchor, but this is a handy dandy app, and then automatically should repost to Spotify, iTunes, and at least that's what Buzzsprout promises me. But you know, the government promised me freedom, so there you go.
Yeah, well, you don't really have that. There you go. So, and you know what? I agree with you. Well, look, man, Prophet Joshua, thanks for jumping on the show. Be sure, and like he said, follow him and NOLA Trash Talk. Always different guests on there. I may know two of the guys. I think they might be two of my brothers. I'm not sure. And then every now and again, there's other people on there. It's always interesting.
So I just hang up, and that's it.
I tell you what, I'll hang it up for you, man. Prophet Joshua, thanks for jumping on episode 150, and we appreciate it. And we'll have you back on soon.
All right, toodaloo.
Thanks for joining the Sports Antidote, episode number 150. Be sure and follow me on Twitter at NKoreanSanta. I'll just be trolling people. ABT, man, always be trolling. It's what Twitter is for. If you don't understand that, you need to get off Twitter. Seriously, I don't know what else to say. It is a playland for adults. I cannot emphasize that enough. And always have an alias. I think most people know who I am anyway. Who cares? Hopefully next week the Drunk Neighbor can be back. Coach O, we don't know. As people with other sports podcasts run out of material, you can always rely on the North Korean Santa to bring something that no one else is. Love me or hate me, you know I'm right. Once again, at North Korean Santa, be sure and subscribe on iTunes or anywhere else. Maybe Spotify, you can pick this thing up. Anchor, you can listen to it anywhere podcasts are provided. Thank you, Anchor, for that ridiculous advertisement I just gave you. I should have practiced that one a little better. We'll see you next week. Late.